You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we may have elected Donald Trump, but I still got a lot of unenslaving to do, and you wouldn't believe the emails I get. We'll get to that later. Just a program note, the show is going to take a definite step up in quality in a week from now. Yours truly will not be here. I'll give you a clue. Aloha. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to take a vacation. You believe that first one since when? Although my son and I do take a golf vacation every summer. Does that count? So anyway, what are you going to do, Dave? Who are you going to have on? You going to do another rerun, Dave? We don't want to listen to a rerun. You don't have to. Show takes a step up. The Hagmans are taking over. They're moving in, and they're going to run the Common Sense Show, and it's going to be totally their call. So you don't want to miss it. I mean, extra day of the Hagmans, and they are on, as you know, Global Star Radio Network, as we are from, I'm doing my time. I'm transferring to Eastern now. 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Right here. Same way you're listening to me, you listen to them. And I'm sure most of you do listen to them. Great show. I often say it's the best show on radio. And in just a minute, Doug is going to be joining us. We're also going to be joined by Lisa Haven in the second hour. And she is a star on YouTube, prolific producer of Patriot material. And we're going to cover the full gamut of things that she covers. And she is a budding superstar. And in the third hour, John Robertson. Oh, boy, is this going to be good. I've wanted to do this for so long, but I didn't have a really good source. John's a former Hollywood guy. And he knows where the bodies are buried, so to speak. We're going to be talking about pedophilia, satanic abuse, ritualistic abuse, in connection to Hollywood, and all the little peer pressure they put on each other. So, you're not going to want to miss the third hour. This is going to be fireworks, fireworks, fireworks. All right, who are we brought to you by? Who makes this show possible? Well, first of all, my friend, good friend, real good friend, Steve Quayle, does a wonderful job, as you know. Everyone knows Steve, kind of the godfather of our movement. Sorry, Steve, that's not a reference to your age. It's a reference to your experience. And best website out there, at stevequayle.com, but more particularly for what he does for us in this show, he sells precious metals to people who wake up and realize that one day your cash is going to be gone or going to be greatly reduced. That's the best case scenario. So you can avoid all that. Give him a call tomorrow, Renaissance Precious Metals. How do you get a hold of him? 406-586-4842. Steve will not sell you anything he doesn't think will help you. He's the most low-pressure guy out there. So give him a call tomorrow. Also, we're brought to you by Ready-Made Resources and Bob Griswold, who really, it would denigrate his professional experience and his background, which he really doesn't talk about on the air, but it's really quite extensive. And he has everything under the sun for prepping. Everything. Night vision, communication. And by the way, we are going to go to shortwave. In addition to what we're doing, we're going to be picked up by a shortwave station, and Bob is facilitating that for us. Thank you very much. But he has night vision available. It's like, I'm looking right now, his PVS 14 Generation 3 is reduced by $500. More than $500. $5,500. No, sorry. $500. There you go. $550. And you can get a hold of him by calling him at 800-627-3809. And you might want to slip in a call during the commercials, because he is right there often during the show listening and takes your calls. I don't know if he's there tonight. I haven't heard from him this afternoon, but he could be there. You might want to give him a call. 800-627-3809. Website is readymaderesources.com. In addition, we are brought to you by Numana Foods, and you better have food, water, guns, gold, ammo. Minimum. That's minimum. A whole lot of other stuff, too, but we can help you with the food. Numana went through a comparison test conducted by Mike Adams, the health ranger, and Mike found that Numana beat every storable food company in every single dimension. Find out why people are flocking to Numana, because they don't trust the loony left to use food as a weapon. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And for our listening audience, take 5% off. Use the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges. And one more. Go to our YouTube channel after the show. It is booming. We've added 11,000 subscribers in the last 30 days. It's incredible what's going on with the growth of that particular channel, and we're stepping up our game. We're adding more production, more variety. And speaking of which, I'm interviewing Steve Quayle for a podcast on Tuesday night, late to be released Wednesday morning. And so it's going to be terrific, terrific stuff. So anyway, that's who brings us the first hour in the, well, let's put it this way. We have such good guests tonight. I'm going to shut up and just let them talk. So let me bring in my good friend Doug Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. He and Joe, like I said, best show in radio right here on Global Star. And Doug, welcome to the show. And there's more to talk about, and we got time. So let me just throw it to you. I think we're going to go with surveillance first, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, yeah. But you know, I think I've decided who we're going to have as our guest next week. Given I just did some quick calculations, given the time difference between mainland United States and Hawaii. I think for the entire 3 hours, we're going to have Dave Hodges as the guest of the Common Sense Show and really mess up any kind of planned vacation, considering that we're going to be under a foot of snow by then, perhaps, and blowing winds, but nonetheless. But thanks for having me.
I have to check my itinerary, but I think we're actually out kayaking that day.
Take yourself.
With the time difference, that's probably where we'll be, in the Pacific Ocean. I don't see any great whites.
Yeah, and think William Colby, too. Never mind.
Did the deep state tell you to tell me that?
Yeah, actually. Since you're a plant of Putin, right? So,
According to the Washington Compost, I am.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty interesting. Well, you know, I was looking at the landscape, the news landscape, and there are a couple of things that kind of were on my radar. Number one, you see these town halls that are getting kind of, people are getting kind of froggy at the town halls across the United States. Daryl Issa's town hall. And what we're seeing, I believe, is the Obama legacy taking place. Now, all of this ties together. The wiretapping, in my view anyway, when I say wiretapping, that's not, I use that word only because that was the word used by President Trump. That's not necessarily factually accurate. That's just a catch-all. But when you look at the landscape, you see a lot of things that are kind of taking place, including, the protests at the town halls. And I think what we're going to see is, as the Trump administration continues their cleaning of house, cleaning out the houses, and really going after the people that have been embedded within the intelligence community government positions, I think we're going to see this more and more, to the point where we're going to have an American Spring this summer. And I've said this before. I realize that. I've said that, you know, we're going to see disruptions and civil war kind of activity and shooting. And, you know, I still believe that. I think sometimes the timing is off. It's hard. Predicting timing is just difficult. So, but the ideological divide is growing at just a tremendous rate. And we're seeing, I believe, Obama, the community organizer, organizing, doing what he does best. And that is getting his organization, that Organizing for Action, and as the umbrella, as well as all of the other groups, you know, Refuse Fascism and other groups by Bill Ayers, by Carl Dix, the founding member of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and on and on. I think we're seeing them prepare for some pretty tumultuous times this summer. But when you look at, then when you take a step back and look at what is known as wiretapping, and what does that have to do with the town hall meetings? I think the allegations of President Trump being connected to the Russians is a case of misdirected attribution, and that's a phrase I use intentionally because it's actually a phrase that's associated with the Vault 7 revelations. And misdirected attribution simply means that we're going to do something and blame it on someone else, and it's going to look like someone else did it. Kind of framing somebody for a murder, for example, or framing someone for a wiretap, or framing someone for anything. And I think that that's kind of the playbook that Obama and others are going by with the town hall meetings and with the wiretapping. Now, with the wiretapping, when you take a quick look back at Obama's history, there was a great article written in American Thinker. It was published today by Clarice Feldman, DC Secrets and Lies. And what this author stated was that Obama has always had the inclination, motivation, and opportunity to spy on people, disseminate information about his political opponents. And that's how he made his political career, is getting his opponents, for example, you might recall, his opponent's private divorce records unsealed. And he leaked that information with the help of the Chicago Tribune. That's when he was running for state senator. Now, when you look at what's gone on, and Clarice Feldman delineates this in this article, Obama and his administration continued this pattern of, in practice, of bending laws, skirting laws, during his 8 years in office. He used the IRS, for example, to target conservative Tea Party nonprofits, along with the Catholic, Jewish, and pro-Israel organizations. And he lied about it as well. Under Obama, the NSA intercepted conversations of how many foreign officials? I mean, tons of foreign officials. You had Ban Ki-moon, Merkel, for just to name two, Sarkozy, and all of this made the reports, made the news. So when people, and again, this is a claim made by the author in the American Thinker. So when people say, well, Obama could never have spied, or would never have spied on Donald Trump, or never had done anything with wiretaps. Yeah, well, his record says otherwise, and we know. Dave, I heard your podcast. And I'm not sure when you did this. I just heard it today, this morning, I think, or this afternoon, talking about the wiretapping. Did you do that today?
No. No, okay. I think that's probably 3 days old, but we know that Loretta Lynch filed two requests with FISA to wiretap the Trump Towers. Reason we know about one and what happened is because it was rejected, then it becomes public information. And number two, we have no record of. So, Doug, are we to assume that it was approved?
Well, Yes. But a couple of things that we've since found out. I think that it's important for people to understand. Number one, the FISA warrant application was not okay. If it involved the Trump server, the server, as I understand it now, is not located in Trump Tower, which I thought it was initially, but I've learned since it is not located in Trump Tower. But you are correct, going back to what you said in your newscast, that there were 1,389 FISA warrant requests that were made during that period of time, the last year, and there was only one that was turned down. And that is correct. Now, there are other numbers. You've got a tremendous amount of FISA warrant applications, and a number of them were turned down, like dozens, during a 10-year period, 9-year period. Some were modified, and some were just fell into the black hole of national security. But in this particular case, it does look like there were two, as you pointed out, there were two applications, one in June and the second in October. The one in June, I do suspect, was declined, that had President Trump's name on it, or at least there were all indications that this was going to be targeting President Trump. And then the second one in October, that was in June, that is, and the second one in October appears to have been approved, but was not directed specifically at Donald Trump. However, he was known. I mean, they got it through the FISA court, perhaps, with the understanding.
Doug, I'd like to interject this, though. Yep. It doesn't matter if he's primary or ancillary. The fact is that Barack Obama's designee, Loretta Lynch, engaged in application for surveillance of a private citizen.
Yes.
That's a felony.
Oh, 100%. And you're exactly
absolutely
right.
Absolutely a felony.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right in that. And I think people need to understand that the NSA, for example, the agency that does the national security work for the country, works directly for the executive branch of the government. So, whereas Article 3 or Title 3 courts work for the Justice Department or the judiciary branch. So, it's an important distinction. This would fall under the former, and having said that, this would there would be absolutely no way in the world that Obama would not know that a political opponent of Hillary Clinton was being, you know, was in the crosshairs of the wiretapping. But as you point out, though, you know, he sought twice to get the FISA court to approve the communications, and you're right, by the way, it's a rare occurrence. I think it's one in 10,000 applications in a 6-year period, or two, I think, two are rejected out of 10,000.
Well,
applications.
The second was Loretta Lynch.
Right. But I mean,
prior to her two requests, only one had been previously rejected.
Right. Now, we don't know. What we don't know is who was connected, aside from Donald Trump, to that FISA warrant application. What was FISA, for example, looking at? And that's really extremely highly classified. No one will be talking about that particular FISA application. Nor should they be. However, to say that there was no wiretap, and this is kind of going over some old information, but it does have new implications, and this is why I want to reference this. To say that, for example, that the this was not known by Obama would be absolutely 100% false, and also. James Clapper. It was interesting that I was watching him and watching some of his recent interviews. There's no doubt in my mind that he chose his words carefully, and I do believe that he did not give the entire information when he testified before the Senate subcommittee. DNI Clapper.
Well, let's call it what it is, Doug. He was engaging in perjury by subterfuge and by omission.
Right.
That's how I see it.
And I guess I was trying to be nice, but there's really no way of being nice about this. But, you know, the other thing, the other part of this, too, is knowing Obama, what he did just before leaving office was extending, under Chapter 36 of Title 50 of the USC Code, and in accordance with Executive Order 12333, Obama himself could and most likely did authorize electronic surveillance without a court order. Now, is that including or in addition to that FISA application? I do suspect it's in addition to. Who's leaking the information as well? 17 days before his term ended, Obama allowed the NSA to circulate these messages among the various intelligence agencies, the transcripts, which is just unheard of. So the bottom line here is there are a lot of fingerprints on this on this wiretap that would indicate that Obama was directly involved in this, in the whole process. Now, the reason I bring this up, well, there's two reasons. Again, I referenced the town hall meetings, which are getting a little bit ugly and will get uglier as time goes on. But there's also the deflection, and I think that we're seeing this deflection away from the Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation ties they have to Russia. Remember, Donald Trump was pressured, or has been pressured, into prosecuting Hillary Clinton. Lock her up, you know, the chance at the lock her up. Well, for what? For using her position as Secretary of State and pay to play to bring in self-enrichment as well as to curry favor of the United States. And of course, he had connected, as you did in your research, a Russian billionaire with close ties to Putin to the Clinton organization. And of course, we and you had talked about the Uranium One and such. So again, this is foundational information. But it's interesting because the very banks that were allegedly being targeted by the wiretapping, if that's what you want to call it, Alpha Bank, and there's another bank, Russian bank, have ties not to Trump, not only to Trump, shall I say, if any, but specifically, and I'll say they don't have any because there was none found, but nothing direct, but they also have close ties to the Podesta Group and its various other subsidiaries.
That's what they were looking for, Doug. What does the other side have? Do they know what kind of pizza we order?
Exactly. You know, this is just so convoluted. I guess when I was researching this and looking through this, trying to kind of separate the fact from fiction, and everyone has got all kinds of information about this. And you look at the timeline, you look at the timeline as Obama is walking out the door. And I wrote it down here. I thought it was really interesting that Obama had widened the allowances with respect to how the intelligence could be handled. By the way, the number I was looking for, between 1979, the inception of the FISA court, in 2015, there were 12 of 38,169 FISA applications rejected, only 12 rejected out of 38,169. And the other number I was looking for, which is consistent with your findings, one FISA request rejected out of 1,389 for the current year. So that's pretty consistent, and that one rejection does seem to be seem to involve the Donald Trump, the candidate, in the FISA court. But when you look at the Podesta emails that were released in October, Clinton campaign chair, of course, John Podesta is who I'm referring to, the multiple batches, the mini scandals that are actually big scandals of perverse power plays, the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Global Initiative, and how they're trying to deflect blame to Trump and the Russians. You can see that, of course, well, you can see the fingerprints of Barack Hussein Obama in this as the community organizer. So that's kind of what I wanted to really get across, to really drive home. And the other aspects as well with respect to this, this goes into the foundation. I think one of the most evil foundations ever created was the Clinton Foundation. But when you look at what Barack Hussein Obama is currently doing right now with respect to his foundation, with respect to building his library, Dave, I got to tell you, when I say library, that includes the foundational money that is the umbrella organization used to build the library. I believe that a lot of this money that is being collected is being misappropriated. This is my personal view, misappropriated or funneled through the Obama organization into, like, Obama Organizing for Action organization, in addition to his other money raising.
They wouldn't do that.
Oh, they would. They are. I'm telling you. But see, this money,
you know,
is being
next cut. Thing you're going to tell me, Doug, is they sold uranium to the Russians, and they also stole $2 billion in Haitian relief money. Come on, Doug. They wouldn't do that.
Oh, brother, I know. Look, man, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, but we have to, like, you know, really. Yeah, no, it's amazing. Now, again, a lot of people might say, well, yeah, well, I heard all of this stuff before, but here's the other part of things now. You have to understand all of that, the backdrop, to really understand what's going to be taking place this summer. And this is what my research and then my contact with my sources have told me. Very simple. And my sources shall go unnamed, and if people have got a problem with that, they can deal with it themselves. But here's what they are attempting to do. They're attempting to not just stop the unraveling of the Obama legacy by Donald Trump, but curry favor among the Republican establishment lawmakers to put up a wall within Congress to stop any kind of legislation that will unwind what we've seen over the last, not just 8 years, but the last 15 years, even 20 years, from Clinton all the way to Obama, his last day. And although there is some play, like, for example, Dodd-Frank, they allowed Donald Trump some latitude there to release the restrictions implied by Dodd-Frank, they are going to, based on my information, they are going to disallow any kind of meaningful reform on health care and on some of the banking issues. That's where everything is going to stop. And they're also going to attempt to impeach Donald Trump.
Yes.
Should he continue to try to further gouge the deep state through the, now I'm talking about through the removal of certain personnel within the government, especially the intelligence community. The intelligence community appears to be in charge right now of the offensive against President Trump. It's the Comeys who appear to be heading up some of the battles that are being waged against Donald Trump.
Did you say the commies?
Comey, like
no,
Jim
Comey. I think you meant the commies.
And commies.
Here's my biggest point of contention. Excuse my sarcasm, Doug, but I'm growing increasingly frustrated with Donald Trump. His administration, and I believe Pence is also part of this, and I wrote about that today. You can check it out at thecommonsenseshow.com, and I've got pretty good documentation. Doug, he's got jokers to the left of him, clowns to the right, stuck in the middle with the deep state, as the new song might go. He needs to line up entire departments of agencies and start firing them in mass immediately, or he's not going to survive.
I totally agree with you on that. And I wonder quietly, and I've posed this question to people inside the Beltway that are active right now, What's he waiting for?
Yeah, that's my question. That's my frustration.
You know, and there's always this silence after that question is asked. I don't know. I don't know exactly if Donald Trump is attempting to, being the deal maker that he is attempting to create deals in order to you know, for the betterment of the country while surviving, literally, or if there is some level of compromise already taking place. But the anti-Donald Trump resistance movement is stiff and quite stiff. And, you know, it would seem to me, we just saw this past weekend the firing of Preet Bharara of the Southern District of New York, the U.S. attorney who refused to resign. And people are questioning that on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. You know, and Dave, do you have anything on Preet Bharara, what his actions were before no. being let go? Okay,
because I haven't had time to turn my attention to him. I shouldn't say small cog, because Loretta Lynch, the snake that she is, came out of the Eastern Division of New York, and she came from nowhere, so you really can't discount anyone's future importance. But Doug, I really don't know.
Okay.
If he's an Obama appointee, the rule of law does not get enforced. That's the bottom line. And to me, we can paint them all with the same broad brush. I know Obama let 46 attorneys go.
46. Yep.
And I love the fact that the loony left came out and said, look what he's doing, he's paranoid, it's McCarthyism. Really? When Bill Clinton took over, he fired every attorney in the Justice Department.
Well, that's SOP,
talk about
by
that.
The way. Yeah, and folks have to understand, that is SOP. When a president takes over, the various attorneys are expected, the politically appointed attorneys for the various districts within the country are expected to submit their resignations. And Sessions did it back under, I think it was under Obama or under... It was under one of the recent presidents, but Jeff Sessions did it when he held that position. But and then of course, the president has the right to refuse your resignation or accept it and then replace that person with another appointee. But in the case of Preet Bharara, this is kind of relevant because Preet Bharara was at the center of the Anthony Weiner, Huma Abedin. Potential prosecution, and he was also allegedly at the precipice of prosecuting de Blasio and Bloomberg, both on various grifting charges or grifting charges, perhaps. It is something close to that. But when you look at Bharara as well, being the Obama appointee, we must not forget that he was the one that prosecuted Dinesh D'Souza and asked for 2 years prison time for just a very minor election law violation that usually Democrats, they just get a slap on the wrist for. So the Southern District of New York is a very, very important position right now. And the reason I bring Preet Bharara up is because this is where, according to the information I'm getting, this is the venue that the Weiner / Pedogate, Pizzagate, whatever you want to call it, that larger group of charges that involve Weiner, that involve potentially Huma Abedin, this is where this will end up. And I just can't help but wonder if President Donald Trump knows something that we don't about Preet Bharara. And perhaps this is why he was asked for his resignation. When he refused, he was fired. And this goes back to the Obama appointee of Bharara and perhaps some window dressing as opposed to some actual prosecution, which my sources say they're dragging their feet on both Anthony Weiner as well as the larger issue of Pizzagate.
They're
not
dragging their feet, Doug. That's a kind euphemism. They got cement overshoes on. and they're walking in quicksand. We should see buses leaving Washington, D.C. with fired government employees.
Certainly.
I don't know what the hell he's waiting for, but I'm really getting frustrated with him because, first of all, you know what I'd do if it were the CIA? I would bring in the military. I would surround Langley and wherever else they operate. No one in, no one out, and we're going through your computers. And you're going to give us the password, or we're going to arrest you for espionage. And we're going to find out where these damn leaks are coming from, and then we're going to charge those people. And then we're going to fire people who are not loyal to the Constitution, loyal to the mission, and they have broken the CIA charter of only operating in foreign markets and then only under prescribed conditions. That's what I would do, Doug. I'm telling you, the Democrats are damn lucky that Dave Hodges isn't there, because a lot of them would have their asses in jail.
Now, my question to you, and I agree with you on that, because I do believe it is time, past time, to completely clean house from, I mean, do what Tillerson did with state, and that's just take everybody out. But my question is could this be more of a diplomatic ploy in an attempt to stay alive and stay relevant, or is this a compromise of sorts by President Donald Trump to the deep state? That's my question. I don't know the answer to that.
I think it's for the Justice Department and Sessions to meet out, but I know I would exercise my executive power as president, and I would politically rendition the CIA right now, okay, today. Because if you want to know where deep state leaks are coming from, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out who's behind it and what's happening. And these people need to have the fear of God put in them. I'd love to see what they do. I would roll up the tanks, and I would get on Fox. I wouldn't go to CNN, but I'd get on Fox, and I would make an announcement that that we are seeking out people who are traitors to the American Republic, have violated their constitutional oath of office, and we're afraid they're going to run. So we've got to bring in the heavy-duty stuff and take care of business. And this is to protect the American people so they can once again trust their government. Trump is losing my confidence in terms of not taking care of his own house. I can't blame him if Congress basically trashes everything he wants to do, from abrogating the free trade agreements. They put their heels in the dirt with regard to immigration. That's not his fault. That's up to us to fix in 2018 at the election booth. But right now, he needs to clean up his own house. And Donald Trump, I know you have people that listen to this show. I've been told that. And you need to carry back this message. You didn't have a more ardent supporter than Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show during the election process, both primary and general. And I'm telling you, you're letting the American people down by letting these criminals stay in their positions.
I'll second that. If they're listening, I will second that as well. And again, maybe I'm coming at this a little bit soft-footed, only because I am really trying to determine exactly what the game plan is here, giving Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt, especially given the number of potential bills that need to be passed with a cooperative Congress. You know, and not everything can be done by executive order, nor should it be. So, yeah, I'm with you there. And I don't know. Again,
do you know how
I'm
easy this is, Doug? Let's say we're the CIA. Yeah. They come in, Trump's people say to me, "Okay, Hodges, we found something we don't like. Explain it. Who's responsible? You tell us, we're going to give you a walk, that you'll never work in government again." "Okay, I don't want to go to jail." "Okay, it was Doug Hagman." "All right, Hagman, where did you get your marching orders from?" "Well, it was
he would turn
Steve Quayle."
"Too, wouldn't you?"
"Okay, Quayle, where'd you get the idea?" This is how he rolls up the CIA.
I can see that. Okay.
I'll give you another thing that's bothering me, too. I would have my own security firm right now under executive order, going through everyone's Secret Service file, because I want to know how the hell a man with a bad knee jumped a fence and got to within 200 yards of the president's residence when he was in it. And I'll tell you, there was a, I did a podcast on this
multiple
today.
Fences.
Come out, yeah,
multiple
Doug,
fences.
40 attack team of 40 people with automatic weapons. The president would be dead right now, given how close that man got. You know, what are we doing? I mean, why is Trump allowing the Secret Service to stay in place? Bring in your own darn people. Forget your protocols. Just don't be the lead car like they did to Kennedy in Dallas. Don't allow the open windows when you go into a plaza like they did in Dallas. But Doug, he needs to bring in his own people right now. I think what they just did was a beta test for a raid on the White House. Now, I don't think they're going to do it next week, next month, but I think it's in their tree of decision-making that if this doesn't work and this doesn't work and this doesn't work, we're just going to go get him.
Well, yeah, I can see that. The fact that he made it so close to the residence and the fact that, I mean, we saw this a couple of times before with Obama. Somebody had actually made it into the residence before being tackled, but that said, I mean, it's the safest place on the planet for a person like you said with a bad knee to jump over not one, but it's my understanding he jumped over the Treasury fence and the White House fence, and I think that there was another one between those two with a backpack. And within what 20 feet of the entrance and 200 feet of the bedroom? I mean, that's where Trump was at the time. That's just ridiculous. So yeah, I look at that and I think that that should have never ever happened. And of course,
I see it more ominous, Doug. This isn't a lone nut jumping the fence. I don't see it that way. In this political climate, we got to be suspicious of everything.
Yeah, I would. It's amazing because I was watching the coverage of course, his family and a troubled young man and harmless but troubled. And of course, it's the same story, same narrative that we see
John
all the time.
John Hinckley, yep. Lee Harvey Oswald. You just repeated their MO right there. Their psychological profile.
Yeah, exactly. So all of this, I mean, all of these news pieces that we're seeing, I also get the feeling, too, that we're getting kind of, and I think you stated it, or at least came close to stating it, I think we're being programmed for something much larger to take place in either at the White House or against the current president of the United States that would cause the elevation of Pence or someone else.
And I think it was season 7 in the show 24. I could be wrong on that. Maybe season 8. But terrorists took over the White House. I feel like we're watching a bad episode of 24.
Well,
I mean, you're right. This should be the most secure area. I mean, first of all, you build a fence in front of the fence and you electrify the second fence. That's not rocket science.
Yeah, and exactly.
I can't believe this wasn't already done. And I mean, for Obama's sake, too. There are a lot of people in the country that love the Constitution and aren't of good moral value. Obama's lucky he didn't get a fence jumper that wanted to take him out. Doug, we live in the craziest times in America that I've ever seen. And this is why I'm becoming so uncompromising. People will write to me and say, well, Dave, he only been in office for less than 2 months. We don't have 2 more months. Robert David Steele came on this show last week and said Trump has until the end of the month to get his house in order. And I don't know if it's coming that quick, but I agree with him in principle.
Yeah. And by the way, I heard that interview that you did with him, and it was a great interview. And I can't say I'm 100% in agreement with him, but I'm 95% in agreement with Robert David Steele. And I thought that was a really, really great interview. But
yeah, he's good, and thank you to you and your staff for setting that interview up. John Robertson, we're going to hear from later, actually was instrumental in helping me work that out. But yeah, he is a good American with a lot of great ideas, and he certainly has the experience to back up what he's saying. But Doug, I'm like I said, I love Donald Trump. We haven't had anyone like him since the early days of Reagan, pre-assassination attempt.
Right.
And before that, it's John Kennedy. He's the third president since World War II that the American people can say, he's really kind of one of us. He's actually looking out for our concerns. And you notice, I'm not criticizing him on immigration and moving too slow. This isn't his fault. I'm not criticizing him on the free trade agreements. That's not his fault. He's got roadblocks in his way that he has to navigate, and he's going to really need us in 2018, as I just said. I'm frustrated with him because if he doesn't act, he's not going to be president much longer, because the Democrats, and I agree with Robert David Steele, if they don't kill him, the deep state doesn't kill him or frame him, they're going to take over in 2018, and they're going to impeach him on trumped-up charges in the House that the Democrats control.
Right. And I think it's going to be along the lines of this Russian connection, this narrative that just won't go away despite it being unfounded, or even paint him mentally incompetent with respect to some of the Twitter messages he's made. And I also find it very interesting, too. John McCain had come out and gave Obama or Donald Trump this ultimatum, turn over your sources or shut up, basically, or retract your tweet. And
do you know, Doug, who McCain, who he married into, the family he married into?
Oh, man, let me guess.
It's okay if you don't. A lot of people don't know the details of the story.
Rockefeller?
No, it was the Hemsleys. And okay. They have a long and glorious history going back to bootlegging and working with the mafia.
Okay.
And there's a publication here in Phoenix that did a great, great expose on this. And if you put in the New Times and John McCain's background and you look, you'll find it. And so, when you live in a glass house, you sure as heck shouldn't be throwing stones. And that's what John McCain is doing here, Doug. He's throwing stones out
right.
of a glass house. This man, remember, he's the reason I'm sitting behind this microphone right now. He tried to become my co-tenant in common with my house. He tried to steal it from me without paying.
Well, some
he's a common thief.
Out of that.
That's why no one should ever listen to him. And it just shows you how brain dead my fellow Arizonans are that would keep re-electing this guy.
Which, yeah, and that certainly it has sinister implications in terms of what we're seeing with the McCain-Graham alliances and even Paul Ryan. But that's kind of why I was soft-pedaling earlier, because I believe, just again, and I'm talking to people who are part politician, part agency, operatives who are in the brass as opposed to the field work, and they're saying, well, there's this this Washingtonian situation where he's got to kind of do things very softly and kind of make some compromises.
Doug, let me interject this. To all the people who imply that message to you that you're talking to, they don't want to say that to me, because I would politely remind them, we are in a war. We're fighting for our survival. If the loony left totally takes over, those FEMA camps that are sitting out there, they're not going to be empty for long. Doug, I'm telling you that
we're going to fight for our
life, we're in a war right now. This is a declared war. Okay, we may not have tanks on the front lines and missiles flying and all that, but we're in a war. And when you're in a war, you don't play by the Marcus of Queensberry rules and ask for permission to shoot your opponent. You just start firing away. That's why Trump needs to go dismantle the CIA and do the job that John Kennedy had intended to do.
And, speaking of dismantling the CIA, I do suspect, and this is based on even some of the mainstream publications, including the Wall Street Journal, where investigators looking at the Vault 7 release, WikiLeaks, it looks like the leaks are coming in, are coming from a very limited number of their own contractors, and that includes the alleged hacking of the DNC emails. Now, having said that, and the reason I bring this up is because this is to show the criminality behind it, not, you know, or behind the government. It's not to be criminal by themselves, but to expose the criminality. And having said that, there are some allies within the CIA who are working extremely hard to maintain the legitimacy of the government as it stands. And there are, of course, they're fighting that with the people you reference, that criminal cabal, the elements within the CIA who must be eradicated. But again, I have been reminded it's been decades. It's been since its inception in 1947 that the infiltration of communists and now Muslim operatives have occurred within the CIA. So,
and they're connected. They're connected. Yeah,
at the hip, they are. They are. Yeah. So, you know,
Doug, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
You got about 30 seconds to tell us about your book.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thanks. Stained by Blood, it's available on Amazon in Kindle format or soft cover. It's about my investigation of the murder of my uncle back in 1987. It was a 5-year unsolved case. Or if you'd like an autographed copy, just go to stainedbyblood.com, and on the upper right there you'll see a form to fill out, and bang, I'll send you one out right away. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the offer to do that. And Dave, I'll tell you this, we will do you proud next week, and I'll be talking to you during the week. And John Robertson, third hour tonight, he's got a lot of great information.
Yeah, I've had enough conversation with him off air to let our listening audience know it's going to be tremendous. Well, here I... Doug, you know, you hit my hot buttons tonight, and that means that you're hitting the hot buttons of our audience, and that's why it's always such a pleasure to have you on, because you do such a great job, you and Joe both. And like I said, it's not idle compliment when I tell you that I think your show is the best radio show on the air. I don't think there's one that matches you guys. There's a lot of great ones, including Ted Brewer, another guy that's here on Global Star. But by
Global
gosh,
Star is the place to be, man.
You're lighting them up. You are lighting these people up on your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everything you do, Dave. And you made some excellent, excellent points tonight. And I have to say I agree with them all. But, you know, we need to take a good hard look at what's going on. And we need to fix the problems. And you're right. At the end of the day, you know, what I gave you were excuses, shall we say, from the people I speak to. But you're right, we have to put those aside and to really go at it. God bless you.
They don't want to be in the room with me. Okay, my friend, we got to scoot. We'll talk to you soon. Look forward to having you cover the show next week. Stay tuned, everybody.
Sir.
Hour number two with Lisa Haven is going to be very interesting.